Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined with Sridevi this afternoon, who has joined me to give our level best at giving as much of an update as we can on the happenings in Cantalumba in 10 minutes. Welcome, Sridevi.
Thanks so much, Jen.
Kind of a challenge, huh?
Yeah, I started chuckling as soon as you said it. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Exactly. So I thought a potential starting place might be filling us in a little bit on the process that you and Teresa and I are doing for our annual review of the girls.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, you talk about joy in process. There's no better experience than this. And so what we're doing is, you know, on our weekly calls that we have with Teresa, we literally have a list, a list of our 52 mm-hmm. girls. And we are going girl by girl and asking questions, getting updates, you know, everything from how are they doing in school, how does Teresa feel about their ability to move forward, is the information mm-hmm. she's received, think that they'll pass on to the next grade, and then some really wonderful things that have been happening when we start asking more questions about their family, their siblings, and so many amazing moments have unfolded in this kind of, it's almost like it's the spirit of inquiry, it feels like, you know, to sit there and just be very curious and very, it's curiosity and attention together in a really wonderful way.
Yeah, that's really beautifully put. Yeah, because so the sort of content aim is, as you say, to check in on each girl, you know, where is she, what's next, what's in store for next year, what might she need in particular, that sort of thing. And along the way, there are all these amazing things that come out of it, mm-hmm. both incredibly mm-hmm. inspiring stories, as well as just really, once again, being reminded of the challenges that folks are up against.
Yeah. I mean, real honest kind of moments of this is what's happening in this house, and this is why this girl might be struggling, and, you know, she really loves school, but she might be struggling because this is happening in her family life, and then we get to have a conversation is what can we do to support? Is there something we can do to support that feels appropriate, number one, and having those kinds of conversations.
Yeah. And Sridevi, are there any particular details that jump out at you as one of you might want to highlight?
Oh my gosh. So I was thinking about this and I reread through all of the notes and I was like, I don't even know where to start.
Oh,
but,
wow.
I'll share some of those moments of like, I didn't know that. And oh my gosh. And it has to do with Edna, who I think people know. Edna is one of our grade two girls. She is the top of her class. And Teresa had shared with us that she had aced every single one of her exams except one where she got one question wrong. And we had asked, oh, what was that? And Teresa said, French. And I don't know about you, Jen, but at this moment of like, when we think about how the struggle to learn English, when she's speaking French, I couldn't believe it. Like, that was just, I didn't know they taught French at the school. And that just that moment of like, oh, my gosh. So here's Edna, who, you know, speaks Zemba, is speaking English, and now she's speaking French, learning French. I mean, how wonderful.
Truly remarkable. And a tiny bit of context on that for people who don't know that Ndola is on the northernmost border of Zambia, on the border with DRC, with the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they speak French. So at first I was like, why in the world are they doing that? And then I got it. Oh, right, because they border. They're about 20 minutes away from a French-speaking country.
You know, the other one that dropped in was the really wonderful kind of conversation around Marjorie and actually her mother, Audria, who joined the cooperative. I'm not sure when she joined the cooperative. I'm just hearing Audria's story, and if you want to share that, Jen, I just think it's such a beautiful story that feels appropriate to share.
Sure. Yeah. So as we were talking about Madria, I said to Teresa, now, isn't Audria, Marjorie's mother, the one who took in those three orphan children? And Teresa said she is. And just the very short version of it, it's an incredibly inspiring story, is that before Teresa knew Audria, she knew of her because it's a small community, but she didn't know her. She wouldn't, you know, they weren't close. Audria's next door neighbor left and she left three children. And, you know, that's a whole thing in itself. How could someone leave their three children? Well, I'll tell you, when I look in Cantawamba and I imagine raising children in that community, I can see how that would happen. But at any rate, so there are these three children, the youngest of whom was not even 2 years old, and they had no other relatives. And none of the kids were old enough to take care of the other little kids. And Audrea took them all in. And Teresa just told us the story of how she had heard this in the community and felt like, huh, I want to go meet this woman and see if there's something we can do to assist. And just describes the conditions that, you know, Audrea had seven of her own kids. She was already struggling to feed them. They didn't have enough food on the table. You know, they were sleeping on the floor, you know, couldn't afford school fees. And she took in these three children, you know. So just an extraordinary person. And Teresa was saying how moved the whole community was by this. And then when Teresa talked to us about it, we all turned to each other and said, my goodness, this is the kind of heart that belongs on the Living Compassion team. And so she now is part of the Living Compassion Cooperative. So all of the, so she has a salary. All of those kids are in the nutrition program. As you say, one of her daughters is in the girls program, so she gets school fees, et cetera. So it's just one of many, many inspiring stories in this project.
Yeah, and I just remember when Teresa shared that story, we think about the 5 mile challenge that's happening and what an inspiration to keep those commitments, because you think about how much people are doing every day and how this woman just with I Project complete unconditional love took these children in and is giving them, you know, and now they're so happy. And Teresa shared, you know, the youngest one was, I think, wasn't as well when he was a little baby. And now she said he's just happy and joyful and eating. Eating. Yeah.
I just want to give the quick quote on Teresa when she was talking about that. I'd forgotten about that. And she said that little, you know, not even 2 year old, 1.5 year old who was very sickly, she said, you have never seen a more healthy, happy looking first grader. Mm. She was so excited. Yeah.
And then, you know, other wonderful things that have been uncovered in these conversations. I was thinking about learning about some of the fathers who are very involved with their daughter's education. And one thing I didn't know, so TWABO, which is where some of our girls go to school, has a parents association. And we have found out that, you know, one of our cooperative members, Pauline, is on the parents association. And one of the fathers of one of the younger girls is very involved and shows up. I think Teresa said, like, whenever there's a meeting called, he's one of the first ones to show up and is always very encouraging of other parents. And so getting to learn those things has been really wonderful as well.
And, you know, one of the things that inspired me so much about that is, I think we talked about, you know, a number of times on Good News, how when those girls were first going off to TWABO, one of the things that the families were really nervous about is, ooh, how are these kids going to fit in this school where all of the kids are way better off, you know, in terms of finances and that kind of thing in their families, and this worry that they were going to, you know, be made fun of or not do well or, you know, not be able to compare with their peers. And it's, I mean, the opposite has happened, as you say. Edna's number one in her class, et cetera. And that Pauline, who is, little Teresa's mom, who is now in sixth grade, little Teresa, who's named after our big Teresa, and Pauline, who's in the cooperative, is the president of the PTA. It just made me so happy because not only is that incredibly fabulous for all the obvious reasons, but that she feels comfortable doing that is just, it's extraordinary. Yeah. And as you say, that the dads are involved in their daughter's education. Yeah. It's just,
Yeah, and to hear these things from Teresa where we hear things like the dad is very committed, the mother really believes in the education, and she tells me that she's going to support, and just that, those stories where you really, you know, you have the sense of the community who, you know, if I recall correctly several years ago as well, just the idea of a girl getting educated, right? They were laughing. There was like, there's no point. And now you see so many years later, just these people, individuals, and groups come together in support of this. And, you know, of course, you know, we still have quite a few girls to talk about within the program with Teresa, but, you know, we're getting ready for our first two girls to graduate nursing school in 2021. And so to think about, you know, where these girls are, I mean, I have those moments, I don't know if you have these moments, Jen, where I go, wait, she's already in grade 10? he was just in grade 7. Even though he
exactly. How could that be?
So quickly. I know, because I was thinking this with, like Joyce Machina and Karin, Joanne's daughter. I was man, grade 10 already? How did that happen? And I was looking, we usually have every year one or two girls who are in grade 12. And next year, we're going to have 8 girls who are entering grade 12. And you just start
remarkable.
Seeing, like, it is just utterly remarkable. Yeah.
So we'll all start praying for them because, of course, grade 12 is huge, and the grade 12 exams, which are 2 girls who are in grade 12. We've really got to call them women, I suppose, but young women who are in grade 12 right now just started their national exams. What was it like?
Yeah.
I think the day we were talking to Teresa this week.
Yeah, I think it was actually
yesterday.
Yeah.
Gosh, isn't that crazy? That feels like a week ago. So, right, they started their exams yesterday, so we can all be sending them our best thoughts. And for those other, as you say, those other young women, that group, large group of them who are going to be doing that next year, again, sending them our best wishes, and we're all going to have to get our fundraising up and running because that means 8 more women going to college. So it's really extraordinary and exciting.
And then just one last thing to, of course, acknowledge. How amazing it is to just be on a conversation, in a call with Teresa, and how much she knows. I mean, it just astounds me every week. Not only does she know the girl, she knows the parents, she knows the siblings, she knows what grades the siblings have gotten to, she knows who's married and who's living where and how many children that they have. And it's just, it's really remarkable. And again, it's just such a reflection of Teresa's deep commitment to the community, her willingness, and her unconditional love that she brings to everything she does.
Exactly. Yeah, it really is remarkable. It's so exactly the attention is the highest form of love.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
just so embodied. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sridevi, I'm not sure if we even scratched the surface. What do you think?
I don't.
We did a good job, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to keep the conversation going. Well, thank you so much for being with us this evening to talk about it.
Oh,
it's really, really fun.
Thank you so much. It's just a joyful, joyful experience, and I'm so grateful to be able to participate in this way.
Me too. And thank you for all you do. I said in the beginning, the reason we have that list of girls is truly, you're tracking that spreadsheet, that all those notes, that. So as always, deep gratitude for all you bring to it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, Sridevi. Take good care. Good night.
All right. Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Sridevi. And welcome to Open Air. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. That's easy, huh? You don't have to unmute someone and mute someone in the middle.
Look through the queue, wait for the computer to respond.
Exactly.
Sounds like you're familiar with that process.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that conversation, and it's just so inspiring. And I did have a question. Sridevi mentioned that so few girls, women, get to grade 12, or there were so few of them. And I was curious why that is. Is it that the circumstances make it so difficult to stay in school and continue, and so as they get older, fewer of them get to the next grade?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll give you the short answer, Michael, since we do have a full show. They have a national set of exams in grade 7 where you have to pass that in order to go to grade 8.
I see.
And they have the same thing in grade 9 in order to pass to grade 10.
Okay.
So that's where a lot of kids get stuck. Like a 19-year-old in grade 7, over and over trying to take that. And it costs money to go to school. By ours, technically they're government schools, and so they are what we would call public schools, but they do have a fee with them, which by our quote standards would be a nominal fee, but by standards in Cantalumba is quite a lot.
Right.
And so to pay to have your child fail the exam year after year doesn't make sense.
Right.
And the other thing is, Teresa was another story Teresa was just telling us the other day. Oh, yeah. Sri Devi was reminding us that the two young women who are in grade 12 right now, it was 2 years ago where they approached Teresa and said, Teresa, we need to move to this other school. And they basically advocated for themselves because they were in a school with 120 kids in their classroom.
Wow.
120 kids in their classroom.
Wow.
And so, you know, you have to kind of be extraordinary to make it.
Yes.
Your family has to be lucky to be able to pull the funds together in order to do it. So it's really the factors working against you are way more than the factors working in your favor to make it to grade 12.
I see.
Yeah. But
and
it's a great question because it highlights how what they're up against in terms of achieving that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. And I would ask a million more questions, and we have other things also on the agenda here.
Very good.
Starting
with you,
Michael. Starting with announcements.
Okay, perfect.
While many people party on New Year's Eve, we embrace stillness. Gather virtually with Sangha from around the world December 31st for guided sitting and walking meditation as we bid this year farewell and welcome 2021. And
so
then,
glad that we get to keep that part of the tradition even in this crazy year.
Yes, it is great. And then on January 1st, a workshop on letting go of the old, welcoming the new, will support us in dropping old conditioned patterns and delighting instead in what's here now. With recording and listening, we can access and receive guidance from the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature and live the life we want. Our powerful and engaging recording and listening training course starts January 13th and will include outside class assignments, fun exercises, and opportunities to process your experience. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts January 15th. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, which begins January 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And mark your calendars for our 2021 kickoff on January 10th. More details are coming soon. And for these...
Go ahead, Michael. Details, go to the website.
Yes, exactly. For these and other practice opportunities, please visit livingcompassion.org.
I was just going to say that, you know, from what Ashwini and Sherry were saying this morning on the morning show, sounds like there are going to be some really fun components to the kickoff and the year-long this year. So looking forward to hearing how that unfolds.
Yes, I did hear that as well. Yeah, and I was very excited about that, and it will be fun to see how that unfolds. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Jen today, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. And Jen, I think we are ready to go here.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hey. Wow, this is so fun to be on Open Air, and it was a lovely report from Cantalamba, really inspiring.
Good.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun. Yep.
Really, really just inspiring. So I'm calling with a little question about parenting. And where I'm looking, I have children that are, I'm looking at my son who's going to turn 18 tomorrow. And my question, it is a milestone. And my question is about how much, what is my role in guiding him and allowing him to make mistakes? You know, what is my role as a steward, you know, in terms of parenting? And
So really looking at, especially it sounds like kind of facilitated by the this big milestone, looking at that question of what is my role as a steward of this child's life as his parent? And as you've looked at that so far, Kim, what have you seen?
Well, I suffer when I get caught up in cultural standards and expectations and pathways to, in quotes, success, because I grew up, in a time when college was less expensive, and so you could kind of just go and you could kind of find your way, and now it's very expensive, and so you kind of just don't want to go, and he's feeling uninspired by doing school online, which is, you know, it's a strange year. He's a senior, I feel like he doesn't want to go to school sometimes. He doesn't see the point of it, and I'm kind of can be there with him in that, and yet, first of all, it's the law, you know, and
right,
I feel really invested. I feel invested in him graduating from high school. He's intelligent. He does really well on all these standardized tests and everything. I mean, he could, if he were inspired, and so I don't know where to draw a line.
Right, because one of the things you pointed at is there's so many cultural things around it, and even conflictual, right? I mean, you can read this book and it says this, and this group thinks this, and these people over here think that, and so it can be really challenging if there's not a strong sense of it for you internally. Of gosh, which direction do I go in with this? Do I assist him this way? It can be tricky. So when you've looked at it, Kim, I'm guessing you've done some recording about it?
I have. Yeah, I have. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I've heard Sherry talk about, well, you know, you need to put the structure in place for your, you know, talking to another parent in a situation where the child didn't want to go to school. And this is a little bit different because this is a person who is almost 18, and so I don't want to be, I don't want to be enforcing. I want, you know, there are natural consequences, but there's a part of me that's very concerned about that. So and then when I record, it's kind of like, well, you don't, you know, maybe good, maybe bad. It's the whole Zen story of the man and the horse. I'm always coming back to that, right? I don't know.
And does it seem like, Kim, that it's an option for you to facilitate yourself and him through the process without needing to know?
Well, yes, and I guess there's again the cultural message of it, you're the parent and it's your responsibility.
Right. Which on some level, I mean, if we take that sort of at its best meaning or whatever word you'd use there, yeah, that's right. I mean, as you say, Sherry had that conversation with another parent. I think, as you say, the child was a lot younger. I think if I'm remembering I project the conversation was where the child was really, you know, not doing their homework and and pointing out that, you know, when one chooses to have a child, that's part of what comes with it, is you're the one who's going to do what needs to happen to sit with the child to make sure the homework happens, that sort of thing, right? So there are those instances. But as you say, this is different, right? Because, okay, so the law says he needs to finish high school, which sounds like you're on it, and that's happening, and you're doing what you need to do to help with that. And then there's the choice that comes after that. And what does he want? You know, what do you see about that? And so is it an option that the two of you together, you know, there's that place that Sherry will sometimes talk about, I'll hear her say it with parents, of being open with our process with our children.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I project there's a place mm-hmm. where, you know, I don't have my own children, so it truly is a projection, but there's sort of this sense of, well, I should know all the answers and I should, you know, kind of come out with it all presented and here's how it's going to go. And, you know, I don't have to be mean about it, but I have to know how it's going to go. But the truth is, it sounds like you don't know. You're not sure that he really should go to college, or you're not sure that it's, you know, okay for him not to go to college. You aren't sure. Mm-hmm. And so what a potential gift to him if you were able to share your process along the way. And what I hear you saying is something along the lines of, gosh, you know, as I look at it, I mean, in other words, in a conversation with him, I don't know. You know, let's look at that together, you know.
Yes.
You see what I'm pointing out?
We've done that. I think I'm not as concerned about next year. And I mean, because I've looked a lot at how people get to the same place through various millions of different paths, a strange thing is that my sister and I are both music teachers, and we got there through totally different pathways. And so,
cool.
You know, so I'm not concerned about that. It's more the day to day and how if I'm doing something by supporting him that is hindering his own growth. So, like, if I'm pushing him and I'm taking, you know, I'm like, it feels so different this year. Like, but maybe that's just, I'm using that as an excuse, you know, like I get him up.
What would be an example of?
Yeah, I get him up to so that he can be on a, you know, be on a screen for class, in quotes, you know, at 9 o'clock. And I'm every morning, I'm just like, you got to get up. You've got to get on the screen. I really want you to graduate. You need to be there. No, you know, it's always a fight. And so that's where I feel like, am I doing a disservice to him by taking the reins there? I mean, that's the part, because my fear is that if I don't do that, he won't go and he won't graduate. And, you know, I know that's going into the future, and what would be wrong with that? You know, I mean, that's another question. That's where I've done a lot of recording. Well, what's wrong with that? Why is that a problem for me or
mm-hmm.
for him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't
and
know.
If I'm following,
yeah.
And if I'm following what you're saying, you've done a lot of recording about it, you've looked at it, and you're still not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And could that be okay?
Yes, it is okay. And I guess it's my behavior, like, is my behavior, that's my question is the behavior okay? Is the kind of overdoing for him okay? I mean, is it
yeah.
hurting? Is it hurting his ability to mature?
Right, and I'm guessing that's one side of the duality. On one side of the duality, it's called overdoing it.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Right, but it's
yes.
not called that from the other side of the duality, I'm guessing.
Right, and the other side of the duality is just, well, natural consequences, let him take his falls, blah, blah, blah. If he fails, you know, it's not my responsibility, blah, blah. Yeah, so yeah. I'm stuck in a duality. Thank you for pointing that out.
Uh-huh. Well, we almost always, we all are of one sort or another. Yeah, yeah. Well, and because what really struck me, what you said a minute ago, Kim, is, how you've recorded about it, you've looked at it, I'm still not sure, and how many things we can all go to in our own lives where it's like that. There are just things that I don't know, and I've looked at it, and I don't know, and I've looked at it, and I don't know. And maybe sort of the kingpin belief is I should know, and I should be able to figure this out, and if I could, I mean, which is so what we're told in terms of the duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I could just figure out the right, which is the right side, to be this way or to be that way. And if I could, then I would, you know what, feel the way I want to feel. I could be the right mom. I could whatever, fill in the blank, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so at least for me, it can be very liberating to just let myself be in that inquiry, be in that process. And right now I still don't know. And each day I do what I do and I record about it. And I, you know, one of the other things that dropped in as you were saying, realizing it's a duality, is there's a process map. That could be a really another really great tool in a situation like this. You know, because ultimately, being a awareness practitioner, what's the real opportunity in it for us is to see the process that's happening, the suffering that's happening with it. How are the voices using this to cause me to suffer?
Oh, that's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah, I think process map.
Yeah.
Is a great next step. So
yeah, and thank you for calling in with it, because I think it can be really helpful for all of us when we get to see the process of suffering elucidated in particular content of life. It's just, it really helps, you know, highlight it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks,
Michael.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays, everybody. Go happy.
To you as well.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Jen, as you said, I can relate to that content. And and just thinking generally about this year, Jen, and the pandemic and how it's thrown people into all kinds of different crazy, unusual circumstances that are not expected, and how conditioning will take advantage of that as well.
And that's such, thank you, Michael, for that, because what that really brought up for me too is how crucial the compassion piece is. You know?
Yes. And I heard you bring that out in the conversation with Kim of compassion for the person who is doing their best in these difficult circumstances, where the quote right thing to do is really not obvious.
Yes. Exactly. And really, really wants to. There's absolute, you know, love and sincerity and all those things there. And meanwhile, you know, the voices are using that duality to torture us. And it's just, oh, it's cruel. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes, it is cruel. Yes. And we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Jodine in California.
Hi, Jodine.
Hey. I wanted to offer a little Christmas gift to Sangha quickly.
okay, cool.
Which is that for a long time I've made these little messages that I put on the light switches in my house. And I call them light switch Dharma flags.
Light switch, what was the last part?
Dharma flags.
Dharma flags, got it.
Yeah, like peace flags. And I got a really good one from current retreat, which I really like, which is notice the no.
Notice the no. So you've got that on a little note that's on one of your light switches. So every time you go to turn on that light, you're reminded of that.
Yes. And actually, one thing that I've done, one variation on it, is I put the same little flag on every light switch in the house.
Oh, great.
So
when
that's
the new
like,
one comes up. Oh, that's
right.
A great idea. Yeah.
That's the message.
Oh, that's
for,
so fun, Jodine. So
good.
Then when the next one comes along, you know, that, oh, you know, the next one that just drops in, one of those like, oh, that's it. Then you take the old ones off and you put the new one on, and that's, I love that.
Yeah. I actually use magnets, so I don't have to like be peeling tape off of everything. So, so I offer that to anyone who wants to go to Shas.
Love it. Thank
and
you.
And the reason I got in the queue was that I had this experience recently of going through a familiar process in a different way. And I ended up with this insight about it, really surprising. To just cut down on the content, I've had basically like chronic depression. You know, I've suffered from chronic depression, and that's probably what brought me to practice. And I've looked at it in so many different ways. And what happened this fall was that I was prescribed a medication for something different, not for depression. But this medication had the potential to give you depression as a side effect. Mm. And I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh no.
I don't need that, right?
Right. And like, I mean, like clockwork or something, I started taking this medication. A couple days later, I started getting depressed. The whole, you know, process map started turning. But the really interesting thing about it was I could so clearly attribute it to the medication in terms of the, you know, the timing. That, you know, conditioning's typical, you know, story was not getting any traction.
Oh,
you know, because conditioning would say, like, you weren't taking care of yourself,
right.
You know, blah, 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 it's all your fault, right?
Uh-huh. And, but instead, what you realized was, nope, it's a side effect of this medication.
Exactly, right? You know, there it is in a list of the potential side effects. And so anyhow, I stuck it out for 28 days, and I just decided I can't tolerate this medication. And I went off it, and the depression resolved, like not right away, but it resolved. And so basically it just gave me this chance to look, you know, to really look at what, you know, what I'm hearing and what I'm believing in that place.
Exactly.
And also, coincidentally, I was watching this TV show, like a sci-fi fantasy show, and in this fantasy world, there were people whose souls had been stolen from them. And they, and I had like read all the books, and I was like all excited when this TV show was coming out. And so everything they did in the TV show, I was like, oh, I wonder how they're going to do this. I wonder how they're going to do that. And they did this person whose soul had been stolen, like, so well that, you know, as I'm watching this show, it's suddenly like, just, I don't know, it like struck my own soul, like, that's how I feel.
You know, so let me see if I'm with you, Jodine, on the first part. So it sounds like what you're saying when you, so here's this really, really familiar process of depression. And so this time, it seemed like the depression, well, it did really correspond with getting on the medication. So it seemed like it was really clear that it was caused by the medication. And so if I'm tracking what you're saying, that gave you the opportunity to go through that really familiar process, but from not taking it personally kind of a place. So instead of the normal story of, well, it's because you're not taking care of yourself, or, you know, essentially it's going to mean, bottom line, something's wrong with you. It sounds like it wasn't. It's like, you know, it would be the same thing as what? The side effect of medication is you could get an itchy rash. So then I get an itchy rash, and I realize, oh, yeah, well, there it is, itchy rash. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything about me. I don't have to suffer about it. It's just I have an itchy rash. And so in this case, it sounds like the depression was that same kind of thing. Oh, there it is. Yep. Not me. It's not my fault. It's just there.
Yes. And the self-hate where the process kind of inevitably goes, mm-hmm. it just didn't stick. It was like, no, that's
There's
not
such
it.
A huge clue in that, isn't there? Huge clue. Right. And did you do recordings around that? Because that just seems like something to carry forward, right?
Well, here's the deal. My recording and listening practice hit a roadblock, and I have committed to getting a recording and listening trainer mm-hmm. because I just realized the next piece of all of this was that I'm considering, like, oh my gosh, you know, what is going on when I'm depressed? What if I am disconnected from my soul, quote unquote, you know, and say, like, we might say, like, from the mentor or from life. And I was like, that's what's going on. I'm disconnected from my soul.
Brilliant.
And also, I was thinking, you know, and there's the sci-fi thing that started all this, but I was thinking, you know, my soul couldn't be taken away because I wouldn't be alive.
And that's so, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was the huge thing. That was like, all I need to do is reconnect with my soul. Like,
gosh,
that's
that is
it.
So big, Jodine, isn't it? And I hear the excitement and enthusiasm in that. You know, it's science, right? Well, I mean, it's really, I wish I could think of the details of the assignment from today, the ninth day and the holy days, because it is so exactly that. It's so, it's exactly what you're pointing at. Basically, the only source of anything, I mean, you could fill in so many things in there, the source of boredom, of depression, of anxiety, of fear, of is because we're disconnected, because we're identified with the illusion of being separate from life. And it's funny because as I was looking at it, I was realizing, well, it's almost intelligent to feel anxious and depressed, because it is really hard to believe that you're this tiny little thing that's got to fight for its existence in this giant universe, right?
Fight to maintain a connection that's in danger of going away.
Yes.
When it can't ever go away.
It can't ever. In fact, and the fighting to maintain it is only reinforcing the illusion that I have to do that.
Yeah.
So I think you're, and that it's so amazing that what came with that, it sounds like kind of hand in hand, was recording and listening. Because that, of course, is the way to reconnect.
Yes, and you know what?
Yeah.
You know what I love, I'm sorry, about this show?
No, go.
Is that some of the people in the show, their soul is visible to everyone, and it's an animal that accompanies them everywhere they go. And the animal speaks. And so the person is talking to their soul in lots and lots of different, you know, parts of this drama. And it is so, like, it's just such an interesting trick to say, like, here's your soul. You know, what are you going to say?
Just so happy for you, Jodine, that you really got to that place and realized and then took the step of, okay, well, I need a trainer. Because that's that place of humility, of really the gift of seeing where we are and the humility to see, I need assistance with this. I want assistance with this because I've seen this giant possibility. The voices are going to go crazy, you know, do everything they can to stop that from happening. So I'm going to get myself some support.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Because as you can imagine, you know, the voices have been kind of and were going crazy throughout this whole process.
Sure. And then you call into the show. So, you know, that's a big, maybe a good starting place is a big celebration recording.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, because actually I've been in the queue for like 3 weeks, and I almost like gave it up this week, so I didn't, so I'm really glad.
Good for you. Yeah,
so,
me too.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for sharing all that with us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
All right, go happy, Jodine.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. And, yeah, Jenna, I love that idea that actually we can't lose our souls because it's who we are.
Yes.
And, Jen, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Jen.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello. Well, I guess I really just called to connect. I was really inspired by the Africa update. That was just really inspirational and really amazing and great to hear.
Yeah, amazing what that team gives us in terms of inspiration, isn't it? It's
Yeah,
it really is. So you called to connect and feeling grateful for the inspiration of the good news.
Yeah, and then, well, I guess I'd say it's a coincidence because there was a previous caller who called with a similar situation that I've been looking at, and and well, the content is that we just took our son out of public school and are homeschooling him for the rest of the year, rest of the school year. And I guess I had really been going through a lot. I ended up joining a coaching program, and that's been really, really helpful because my son has a disability. He has a learning disability, ADHD, and it makes it really, really hard for him to be able to be in a learning situation that he's not interested in. And
not interested in, and then add on top of that, you know, if he's doing the social, remote learning, oh my goodness, challenge upon challenge.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, it's not any, I haven't heard anything about this in the news, but, you know, it's imagine a pandemic and then having a child with a disability. And
what a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have tried to talk to the school. We had tried to get accommodations, but it's just been, you know, him supposed to be sitting in front of a computer screen and being able to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has not worked at all. And there was just so much self-hate and conditioning and judgment to myself, to him. Mm-hmm. What I really saw was a lot of it was projected to him, on him. And it
was self-hate was at both of you, really. Sometimes it was directed at you, sometimes it was directed at him.
Yeah, and this coaching really helped because it allowed me to see that to have compassion, which I didn't at all. And I don't know why. It was just like I think I was just so frustrated because he's really, really bright, but he just couldn't do this. And in fact, he was telling me that that the math was, you know, it was just stuff he'd done 2 years ago. And now I'm looking at it in a different way. I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe instead of being angry and judgmental and furious and frustrated, maybe if one of the things they recommended in this coaching is to approach it from curiosity, and maybe I could instead be curious, you know, what's going on with him? What I noticed was there was so much going on with me that so much conditioning and self-hate that I couldn't be there with him. And what I'm seeing is, you know, maybe this is torture for him because he's has to sit here all day in front of a screen. He's a very outgoing kid. He can't see anybody his age. And he is forced to be in this class that is at a level that he doesn't feel like is even interesting for him. And so I was so frustrated and angry at him because I felt like, well, you should easily be able to do this and be acing this. And, you know, you're starting ninth grade and now your grades count, rather than thinking, well, God, maybe it's just a very demoralizing thing for him.
So really, I mean, what you said a minute ago, Andrea, is such a commercial for awareness practice, right?
Yeah.
Because when we're so identified with the self-hate that's going on for us, we truly, even if we know intellectually, okay, yeah, there's another human being involved in this situation, there essentially isn't. It's truly all about me. I'm a terrible parent. I need to make him do this. I need to, you know, all these things. And so in being able to really work with that as a process, and it sounds like from what you're describing, begin to disidentify from that. Mm-hmm. And then that opens up this place of curiosity of, huh, well, what might be going on with him?
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to walk through that process, and then from there, really be able to look at, I mean, not just the process, but also the content. Okay, where does that put us? Well, maybe we need to change the situation here.
Yeah, yeah. And instead of just, you know what I feel like? I feel like both him and I have felt like we are round pegs that have to fit into a square hole. And can you imagine the frustration of being a round peg trying to fit into a square hole?
Yeah, well, you know what? We can, because when you said that, what just dropped in was, that's a perfect definition of being a conditioned human.
Exactly. Because, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to fit ourselves into conditionings, you know, whichever, I don't know which is which, the round, the square, the round hole, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And so it's just so brilliant that there actually is a process where we can realize, you know, it isn't about the content. Now, do things shift around on the content level once we see through the process? They often do. You know, they often do, especially with a realization of something like, wow, you know what? This isn't because he's, you know, a bad person and he's XYZ. It's because X and X and X is going on. Great. Well, then let's look at that and see how we can support him in that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, too, is what I'm just seeing with talking to you about this is that I was so angry and frustrated and in self-hate, and he was being extremely abusive to me. And I can see now, I can see now that he was exactly where I was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, talk, there's the compassion piece, right?
Yeah.
So much compassion. Truly, because both of you are in the same situation. You're doing battle, but it seems like the thing that completely throws it off the track is it feels like you're doing battle with each other, but you're each doing battle with conditioned mind. And it's that image that's, I think it's in the Be the Person You Want to Find, one of the books, Sherry's image of, you know, now both of us get on the same side, right? Mm-hmm. And we're looking at the thing together, the thing in this case being his schooling. So instead of being against each other, you know, oh, this way and you're that way, we now are both on the same side looking at the issue together. It's a completely different experience.
It sure is. It sure is, because, you know, what I'm seeing is that it seems like once I dropped all that and really this coaching helped a lot, and once I was able to see some of that, and I'm not saying I'm perfect because I've had my slips even yesterday, but what I noticed is that he is a completely different person. Like, he's back to the kid that I had before.
Yeah, and you know, you just said something that's so important, Andrea. It really takes me back to the first conversation with Kim, where now the way you said it was, you know, it's not that I'm perfect, which of course you are, right? It's all unfolding perfectly. But the point I project you're making is, it's not that it doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
And that's crucial for us to see, because that's going to be a conditioned setup. Right? Mm-hmm. Sort of that, like, oh, great, now we've seen through it, and he's not going to be that way anymore, and I'm not going to be that terrible way anymore, and that's going to, and you can just watch us getting set up for the next one. You know, that button's going to get pushed. Mm-hmm. One of us is going to go to that place. The other one's going to take the other side. And that's fine, because that is going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. But because you've seen all this, I project what's possible, especially if we can train ourselves to go to compassion as soon as we wake up from it. As soon as we wake up, there it was. I mean, I don't know if he's in a place where the two of you can do this, but even things like, you know, giving it a name, code orange. Oh, there was code orange. Yep, happened again. So now we can have a sense of humor about it and a sense of play, and it's not a tragedy. And yep, that does happen, and that's okay too. That's also part of the process.
Exactly. And it's not only with him, it's with my husband, because, you know, the three of us, it's affected all three of us. And he's been, you know, much more on board, you know, with my son. And, you know, like, I think he's been much more centered about it. And and I could see, you know, even yesterday I could see it butting up against him too, like my conditioning and his conditioning being triggered. And so, and then I can see also conditioning coming up right now as I talk about this with, you know, the conditioning of, you know, don't stick your head out, don't share this or it'll get cut off. You know, basically saying, don't share this because then I'm going to make things terrible, you know, like
you tempt the devil kind of.
Exactly. You can't tempt the devil.
Yeah. Well, again, that to me is the piece of why it's so important. And maybe even, you know, tonight before you go to bed, after getting off this call, make the recording that says, this has been an incredible, I mean, you know, you'll use whatever word you use for it, but this has been an incredible journey. I'm so grateful. Here's what I've seen so far. And, you know, sort of talking to the Andrea for, you know, for when the next time happens, it's all right. It's okay. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, oh, now it's gone. It's just part of the deal. It just spirals around. That's all right. It's okay for it to spiral around.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And in fact, what I've been doing is after my reflective listening calls, I've been making a recording to summarize everything I've seen. So.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. What a great practice. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in with all that, Andrea, tonight. That was really helpful.
Yeah, thank you. Gasho.
Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Yeah, Jen, what dropped in over the course of this show is the challenges that have arisen this year because of the crazy things happening this year, and people's practice and the willingness that responds to show up and grow and be kind and creative. It's amazing.
You know, it really is amazing, Michael. It really is. And it's that place that, you know, can sound Pollyanna until we've really had the experience ourselves, which is that place of, wow, I'm grateful for all of it. And it truly is all a workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Grateful for all of it. And it's all a workshop. And we have another caller here, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, this is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It feels as if we just talked yesterday, and it was on Thursday, and it's such a... It's such a connection to Sangha that I'm just trying to use every opportunity I have as we talk about this time of in the times of isolation and disconnect, you know, have this opportunity to connect. And I've struggled to participate in yearly retreat in person. Even I listen and do the assignments, you know, in other hours because of my current work situation.
Mm-hmm. So taking every other opportunity that you can do, take advantage of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll, you know, conditioned mind would say like, well, here, you know, you cannot do this, and that's, you know, there's a reason to feel bad and excluded and kind of victimized. But, you know, I'm celebrating here. Look, I'm participating.
Exactly.
Twice in the same week, you know.
exactly. And so there, conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings me another kind of insight that was that whatever conditioning is saying on the background, it kind of rings true until questioned. But then you face you look at it, you make it, kind of vocalize it, and then it becomes ridiculous.
Oh,
and
so
then
it's that, and then.
And then I make a recording of what's actually true, and what a startling difference between what was there on the background believed versus what is actually true is a huge difference.
It's so huge. And it's so important to do that process, isn't it, Pasha? Because that thing about the background stuff is that before it's articulated, before it's brought up to the surface, what we realize is, I mean, that's really having an impact. I'm actually believing that, not consciously, right? Not consciously, but it's back there. And it seems, as you say, it seems true and real, not because I'm looking at it and saying, no, is that, now, does that seem true or real? Yeah, that seems true or real. No, it's just, it's never even questioned. It just is true and real. Until we vocalize it, until we record and listen, we call into the show, we whatever. And then as you say, it's absurd. Oh my goodness. I was walking around believing that. And so what a relief to articulate it and realize that's not true at all. Here's what's actually true.
Yes. It's like that background truth on the back of my mind that just over time makes me feel bad.
Yes.
You know, and then I'm
wears
walking
me down.
Around. It's like,
wears me down.
Yeah. Yeah, wears me down. Like, why is it I'm feeling bad? And
because I have someone who hates me who's talking to me all day long, every day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there, you know, so many times I've seen how it's not true. It's just there you know, trying to cook me alive.
Wow, that is a really startling, poignant image. Yeah. It's trying to cook me alive. It's literally taking my life.
Yes. But the reason I call today is I have this another insight about what else I'm believing unquestioned is process of thinking. I'm walking around, and often I'm willingly going with conditioned mind to think about something. And it goes like this. It's like I face this kind of problem at work that I really believe is a problem, and I don't have a solution. And then I start thinking about it. And then I don't notice how the thinking becomes like obsession. It's a constant thinking about the problem was at work. And it's in a similar way wears me down. It's not yet like a problem like, gloomy day and I'm in kind of a darkness of depression. I'm just thinking about the problem.
I'm just looking at it this way. And what about that? And how about this? And turning it over that way. And
And I also have a kind of long, old, beliefs since my university days, when I'm studying some kind of like difficult subject in, in physics, and it takes like a long time to grok it, and I'm feeling I'm cooking it, I'm looking at different ways. I even go on a walk, and I look in the trees. And then, boom, all of a sudden, I have a solution to the problem I was working with. And at that time, or I don't know when, it's kind of to get connected. Oh, look, you've been walking around kind of cooking the problem. And then, boom, it gets solved. So cooking the problem leads to solution.
Yeah, that's so good. Let me see if I'm with you, Pasha. So in other words, there's a belief. So some problem arises. I'm in university and there's some physics thing, or at work, there's this problem. It's got to be solved. And I don't know the solution. So there's a belief that I've got to start thinking about it, turn it this way, turn it that. And then you're out on a walk and you're looking at the trees and boom, this thing drops in. And conditioned mind says, see, well, that's because you were thinking about it all that time. But if I'm tracking what you're saying, what you're realizing is, that's a scam. Those two things are not at all connected.
Yes, it's like opposite. If I just take a break
opposite.
From thinking about the problem, I go on a walk and spend the time in the quiet with the trees. And all that, the solution drops in often.
That's right.
It does. Yes, it does requires me kind of like read the problem or like kind of understand what is it
like a koan.
Like a koan, right? You need to read the koan or hear the koan.
Yeah,
right?
Hold it in your awareness.
Yes, but then there is no control over when solution comes or when the insight comes. And conditioning says, well, you need to be this feverish kind of state of kind of like, it presents to me that like I need to remember about the problem, so it will constantly remind me. Otherwise, I'll forget. And because I'll forget, the solution is not going to come.
Oh, my gosh. It's so big to see that, Pasha, isn't it? I just, And then, so you're talked into that, you're talked into that, you're talked into that. You go out on a walk and you accidentally get present for a moment. And life has can't you just see it? You know, I mean, if you do a little cartoon of it, like life is like, quick, he's here. You know, throw down the information. He's ready. He's, you know, and there it is. Boom. Oh, it's so fun. Yeah. So then I projected the practice of just really, you know, okay, great, got it. So every time there's a quote problem, then I practice just bringing the attention back here, bringing the attention back here, bringing the attention back here. And as you say, no control, you know, don't know when something will drop in, if it ever will drop in. I mean, that's kind of a theme we've been talking about tonight, you know, just the compassion to, you know, be with all of it. Nothing wrong. You know, I'm here now, but I'm ready, life. I'm open. There's something about this. I'm available.
Yes, and it seems like it takes courage to be in that open state I might not ever see the solution. I have no control, but I'm not giving up, and I'm not going with the voices like dragging me into like a darkness. I'm just going to stay here. With the courage of not knowing. And what I saw another part of that kind of solution was, you know, I came to work next day and they told me, oh, you know what? It's not a problem. And I was, wow, I've been thinking about this in a whole weekend, you know, and then it turns out to be not a problem. and that was
life has a sense of humor.
Yes. If somewhere I heard Sherry's quote about something, or like if problem doesn't have a solution, then it's not your problem.
Yes.
And that reminds me of that space of staying courageously without the solution. And not running away and not chasing my own tail, but just being open, what will be next?
Yep.
And the next might be problem solved, or problem disappears, or whatever.
Whatever. So, whatever. Yep. So good. Well, thank you, Pasha. That is really
fun.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah, a great reminder for all of us. Yeah, gosho.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. And Jen, that is one of my favorite quotes, that if the problem can't be solved, perhaps it's not a problem.
Yeah.
And I remember the guide saying that, and just so helpful. So helpful.
Yeah. It is so helpful. Oh, and really, I love Pasha's point about the courage. And,
yes.
And to... it feels like in doing that, in that faith of, you know, I may never see this. I may never. And being all right with that just feels like such a tremendous training in our own adequacy, and nothing wrong. It's completely all right. I can be completely all right. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Training in our adequacy and nothing wrong. Genius.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jen, for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Very fun.
And thank you to Sangha and all of our callers and listeners. And go happy.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.